This, you don't need to get this. We'll let people file it. I've got, you know, because I've been, because I ran off at the mouth so much about my own story, I really got to rush through to get everything in on spiritual warfare this afternoon. So while people come in, I'm gonna start to ease into things here. But that one quote from the Pope I was looking for was, he said, God speaks quietly. This is Pope Benedict XVI. God speaks quietly, but he gives us all kinds of signs. In retrospect especially, we can see that he has given us a little nudge through a friend, through a book, or through what we see as a failure, even through accidents. Life is actually full of these silent indications, isn't it? If we remain alert, then slowly they piece together as a consistent whole, and we begin to feel how God is guiding us. So our Pope believes in signs, at least in our personal lives. We all get signs all the time, don't we? By various things that happen, some good, some that don't seem good, but everything is good if we respond in the right way. Is that not also true? It's how we respond. No matter what the evil is, the greater the evil, the greater the potential for good to come from it. But if we get caught up in the negativity and the darkness of it, and even in signs in society, if we get too much caught up into the darkness of it, then we get in trouble. It was Father Gust here, a local priest, a great local priest here, just wrote a little pamphlet recently about Katrina and God. Those coming in, if we could just be a little bit quiet. And he, like I said, I will sign books after Mass. And he points out the quote from the Christophers, you know, that order, whereby it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And that is certainly true. But, you know, I'm just going over some quick things while everyone's filing in. I also found it interesting that as far as 9/11, in 1909, there was a series of books, a series of volumes of alleged prophecies that was given in the Protestant circles, and it was called Testimonies to the Church. And what was amazing is that there was this quote. On one occasion, when in New York City, I was in this night season, called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof. Higher and still higher these buildings rose. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, they are perfectly safe, but these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. This was given in 1909, and what's interesting is that it was in volume 9, beginning on page 11. You know, even in Judaic circles, well, among the Jewish people, they got this fella here, I think you pronounce the name, Rabbi Daniel Lapin, and he's known as America's rabbi. He wrote a book recently called The Gathering Storm. And he was asked if Jews, like some Christians, feel a time of purgation is coming, and he replied bluntly, yes, it is extremely intense. He also commented, this rabbi did, it's a turbulent threshold, a time of somewhat unimaginable solution to human problems. Every culture that adopts abortion and homosexuality as normal is a culture that begins to decline and eventually vanish off the stage of world history, and that is God acting. What is unquestionably crystal clear is that time and history are accelerating. Things happen more quickly now than ever before, so it's moving towards that event, whatever that will be. How many feel time has sped up? Is it just because we're getting old, or is it... You hear this from school teachers who say that their kids are saying the same thing, so maybe something is up, huh? Or you wake up at 3 a.m. and it either feels holy or evil, like there's a war going on and you got to pray. And a lot of people do Divine Mercy or to praise the Archangel Michael, and other prayers as well. But anyway, you're gonna find me talking a little bit swiftly here because I have to get through some material here that I think is relevant. And we're going to, by the way, just lastly, do you know that the guy, one of the guys who discovered the structure of DNA, you know, that double helix, one of the guys, his name is Dr. Watson, said, only with the discovery of the double helix and the ensuing genetic revolution have we had grounds for thinking that the powers held traditional to be the exclusive property of gods might one day be ours. Okay, that seems like a nemesis. So many things going on here. You know, so many coincidences. After the hurricanes hit Florida, like I said, we got brushed three times. We're near Orlando. Actually, we live near St. Augustine, the oldest. They have the oldest Catholic parish in the United States there. It's matter of fact, we were once a part of the New Orleans diocese. Before that, we were part of the Cuban diocese. That's how far back it goes. St. Augustine is the oldest city in the United States. The joke there is that by the time the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, St. Augustine was going through urban renewal. I just moved there 4 years ago. They also have the oldest Marian shrine in North America, Our Lady of La Leche. Kind of a neat place to visit. And at any rate, we certainly live in this very interesting time. And what we have to remember is that there is a bubble of protection, not only just by using the sacramentals, and they're important to use, less salt, metals, and so forth, all around your property for protection, but most importantly, protecting ourselves through a bubble of humility. And as I mentioned all through the morning, love. This is a tremendous protection against the enemy. Because we can talk about all of these things that are going on in the world right now, and they're important. Even Benedict has. You know, before I move off of this, here's something else the Pope said. He said that the apocalypse speaks about God's antagonist, the beast. The animal does not have a name, but a number. In the horror of the concentration camps, they canceled faces in history, transforming man into a number, reducing him to a cog in an enormous machine. Man is no more than a function. In our days, we should not forget that they prefigured the destiny of a world that runs the risk of adopting the same structure of concentration camps. If the universal law of the machine is accepted, and he says that because machines have been constructed that impose the same law. According to this logic, man must be interpreted by a computer, and this is only possible if translated into numbers. So we're in the time of the barcode, and when they're worried about microchips and about keeping control of people through machines, which means through numbers, and that goes to Revelation, as the current Pope warned. You don't think of him as saying things like this. He did. That's what he said. And I want to also say, you know, that mysterious part of that prophecy that mentioned evil north of San Francisco. I've got to admit, I don't like running off with conspiracies and paranoia, and I'm still not sure where to go on stuff like this. But it does, I've got to say this much. I don't really buy when somebody thinks that they got the whole thing figured out, that there is a group in a Bilderbergs or Masons or this or that who are in Geneva or Brussels or New York or wherever, and they're mapping everything out, and just a little group controls everything. That's a bigger conspiracy than that. It's a satanic one. He's organized all different elements. It's not just bankers. It's not just Masons. It's not just this group. It's media. It's different factors in the money. It's throughout. It's our educational system. It's throughout. But there definitely is a trend of global unification in a way that in some regards is good and in some regards is dangerous. And we do have to watch out, because if there is a unity that then is controlled by a personage of evil, as indicated by that alleged prophecy, then with our modern technology, it would allow a personage of evil to assume or exert considerable control. That prophecy claimed that there was a personage of evil about to arrive on a world stage, but that he would not be a real out front leader, but more like Karl Marx, where he's in the background influencing, but much more powerfully and much more immediate than Karl Marx. So food for prayer, food for thought. But then, you know, we also have to get into what goes on in our own lives. I mean, there's all this prophecy. It's fascinating. You know, now everyone's seeing 11:11. I mentioned waking up at 3 and time acceleration. Now everybody says, I see the number 11:11. And I kind of scoffed at that, but then I saw that there's this Mayan prophecy that calendar that ends in the year 2012, and that is going to be when our particular solar system goes through the eclipse of our galaxy goes through the not the center of the of our solar system goes not through the center of the galaxy but what do you call it? Not the center, but the what? Not the axis. No, but anyway, I'll find that in a question and answer period. But it doesn't go through the center of it, but through the midpoint of it. See, and it's the first time since there been recorded history, so they think there could be new gravitational forces exerted, and the astronomers have timed this as occurring 11:11 universal time. In the year 2012, so I don't know what goes on. You know, you can go crazy with this stuff. Isaac Newton tried to get the Bible from Daniel 12:7, where it says a time and times and a half, a time times and a half. He tried to calculate that the world will end in 2060. So we got a little bit more time by his prophecies. Not to make fun of it, but just to say we got to be careful with coming up with dates, don't we? And times, I don't really believe in when I hear dates. But I do. I find this interesting from Newton. Now, scientists widely consider him the best scientist ever. And this is a quote by a scholar who wrote about him. He said, Newton understood nature as a book that we can decipher as the Holy Scriptures are read. He considered himself a kind of prophet of the natural sciences. In both of these areas, he looked for the hidden message to be unraveled. So when scientists make fun of us for looking at signs of the time and nature, they are forgetting what the most famous scientist in history said. But you know, what it comes down to really is when it comes to what's coming and prophecy, it's something we can contemplate, but what I hear is that the truth is in the present. I mean, we know that. That's the truth. The truth is in the present. The future is something else. It's fluid, and it changes with times and actions. But we have to be prophetic in our own personal lives, and in this way, we need to certainly be protective. Because if nothing else, whatever we're moving to, and I don't like the global trend. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that north of San Francisco, remember it said in that prophecy that the center of evil is north of San Francisco. I don't care for the fact that there is this group that meets north of San Francisco called the Bohemian Grove. Again, it sounds paranoiac, but you can look this up easily on the internet. They had a Newsweek reporter infiltrated, but they wouldn't let his report be published. There's a group every year of about 2,100 very prominent people. Often the President of the United States will go, Vice President, Defense Secretary, the major bankers, major media people, a lot of movers and shakers. And they meet, it sounds like a social club, like the Elks Club and so forth. And they may well be taking it that way. You know, we can't go overboard yet on this. But there's elements of it I just don't care for. Number one, it is absolutely and utterly secret. Number two, when you think of it, to put together all of these presidents throughout the last few decades meeting there and not allow media coverage or the vice president and defense secretaries, it is the place where it is widely said they came up with the idea for the Manhattan Project, which created the atomic bomb. They meet every year during the summer. And it's kind of like drinking and eating well and other things going on there. But one of the things I don't like is that they have this ritual every year whereby they come out with this big towering owl. And they burn a human effigy in front of it. And it's supposed to be burning, the burning of cares. And they have a voice come out of the owl and it chants this kind of occultic type thing. Some years it used to be Walter Cronkite, the voice behind it, because they were all prominent people here and he volunteered, I guess, or he was asked to do it. I don't like the fact that they're meeting secretly, and I don't like some of the things that are foot in a world from that. You know, it's not just Bohemian Grove. There are Bill Bergs and there's how many different groups? The Club of Rome, and you know, you can Council on Foreign Affairs. There's a little bit too much secrecy going on, so I think that there is some cause for not paranoia, not for pointing fingers, not too many conspiracies right now, but there's a cause for discerning prayer and praying against it. But like I said, I think the most important thing is discerning the signs in our lives, and certainly the signs are pointing to the need for protection in our families, in ourselves, for cleansing ourselves of evil, and cleansing our homes of evil, and just purifying all we can so that we come under protection. Because there is one thing that I'll stand here and claim is for sure, and that's that evil has intensified tremendously. That there are tremendously more evil attacks than there used to be, and both the faithful and the unfaithful. The evil rain is like the other rain, where it's on both sides of the fence. The 1960s, for some reason, seemed to open up a floodgate, probably because of the use of drugs, music. Music is powerful, not just the words. There's something about music that opens the soul. This is why the devil uses it. Well, first of all, it's used in a good way by religion, in a bad way by some of this rock music, because music does something to the soul, and it seems to open something there, and then they can plant lyrics, or just the feeling, a rhythmic beat is nearly so many times tied into a sexual type of energy, or an occult energy. I was once speaking, doing a series of church appearances with an expert on deliverance, a priest, who's an expert on healing and deliverance. And he was telling me one night when we were, you know, after one of our appearances, that he knew a fella, a friend of his, who was a missionary, a lay missionary, and he went with his daughter to Africa. I don't know if it was the savannah of Maasai country in Tanzania or where it was. I don't even know if he told me what country. Could have been Kenya, Tanzania, who knows. But he said that when they got there, they set up their tent. It's still warm, huh? Yeah. Isn't there any way of cooling things off? Any way of cooling things off? They're saying it's real warm here. Huh? They're fine? How many are fine? How many aren't fine? Okay. All the not fine people over here. Oh, wait a minute. John says out there. Well, I don't know what do you do in that case? Because the not fine people aren't concentrated in one group. Okay, why don't we close the door and just put it down a little notch? Yeah, put that in that temperature. I'm a little bit warm up here. This area is a little warmer right here. I discern it right here, John. And what was I talking about? Does anyone know? Music. Well, he was saying that they set up their tent in Africa, and his daughter, who was with him on his trip, she brought out a cassette player. She brought music with her. She started playing this music, and I don't know if they were Maasai or what else, but the natives came rushing up to the tent saying, shut that off, shut that off, you're conjuring the evil spirits. And, you know, you wonder, I don't think that's just maybe superstition. I think that, you know, music is powerful. And I don't think we understood what was going on in the 60s. I don't think we understood what even, there was a, you know about blues music here. A lot of people think that rock started with a bluesy voodoo type beat. And then came up and evolved into other types of music before it became what we know as rock and roll. There's even that famous guitarist, was he in Tennessee or Mississippi, who supposedly really wasn't that great a guitarist until he went to an intersection and offered his soul to the devil and became famous and is the inspiration for many current, I'm not going to get into names, but for many current rock musicians. They even go to that intersection and pray. They go to his tomb. He offered his soul to Satan. And here we have, and then, well, rock music came, and you know, I was a fan of the Beatles, and I think that there's good and bad. There's good and bad, just like in any other form of life. But overall, the fruits that came of that rock revolution were not good. It brought the sex revolution, and drugs open the spirit, literally, to other spirits. And so during the 1960s, there was a tremendous surge of evil. If you look at the history of the famous rock musicians of the era, not starting with, but including Elvis, John Lennon, certainly Mick Jagger, and right down the line, you will find such an occult influence. You will find in some cases that they even were adherents and followers of Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist. His own mother called him the Beast. He was the one who proclaimed in the year 1900 that he was invoking in the age of Satan. He was the inspiration for the foundation of the Church of Satan in San Francisco by Anton LaVey. It was in 1966 that Anton LaVey founded the church in San Francisco. And it was in 1969 that he published the first Satanic Bible. The 1960s, the free sex, the birth control gave opening to abortion in the early 1970s. And then you look, so you know, I talked about how chemicals can come from alchemy and can have an occult root, and so can drugs. It used to be called pharmakia in ancient German witchcraft. Witches used drugs on people, hallucinogenic drugs. Of course, they're also used by all kinds of different civilizations through history to see into the spirit world. Unfortunately, what they're seeing is too often the demon world. And so we had the music opening doors, we had the pharmakia, the drugs opening doors. And once you had abortion, now Satan is conducting a massive, unrecognized blood sacrifice of innocence. So now you've got this gigantic ritual taking place under our noses and with our legal system okaying much of it and causing a tremendous upsurge of evil, and we are bearing the brunt of that right now and need to protect our families. We can't protect ourselves if we have evil in us. We can't protect ourselves as well, I should say. Because if we're doing, and especially if we're sinning, because when we sin, the devil is allowed a proportionate piece of our territory, proportionate to what we're doing that's wrong, is evil. We invite in evil forces that way. If we want to be protected and want to protect our families, first we have to purge our darkness. We have to purge our darkness before we create that bubble of protection around ourselves. And I think that that we have to start, as I said this morning, with humility. Because the opposite of humility is pride. And who is the prince of pride? The devil. And it's pride that got him thrown out of heaven. It's pride that threatens us in our afterlife and threatens us here. There's a lot of mysteries. It's controversial, as if other things I said aren't. It's controversial, but I believe there may well be something to this concept of generational healing, where there are certain spirits that can bother generations and families. And there's this, Father Hemsch writes a lot about it. There's a lot of priests who argue for it and a lot of people who argue against it. But they're basically saying, you know, they go back to that concept of sins of the father being visited on generations, and whether or not that can be related. There certainly seem to be families where there's repetitious bad things that occur. Alcoholism and divorce or financial ruin. And sometimes you can say, well, it's just learned behavior. If a father is an alcoholic, he's teaching the son to drink. Or you could say there's a genetic proclivity to drinking too much in that family. You can say a lot of things, but sometimes things occur, especially accidents, car accidents, fires, things of that nature that seem to go beyond simple simple physical explanations. And so I do think that it is perhaps wise, if you believe it is after you pray for discernment during Mass, even today if you're so inclined, during the consecration, especially when that chalice is lifted and you have the precious blood there, to break any demonic bondages in your families and to begin a purification process, so that if there is anything to generational demonology and if there is anything haunting your family, your family tree, your family line, that you don't let it go beyond you. That you stop it now, and that it doesn't affect you or your children now. See? I think it behooves us to at least take that into discerning prayer, because there's a certain... Look, if somebody in a family has a demon and dies, the demon doesn't die. And it may make a certain amount of logical sense that demon will just attach to whoever's closest, whoever's in proximity. Could also argue that demons are proximate to everything. They don't need to be physically proximate, and you can make that argument. But at any rate, I think it's something worth remembering. It's a very mysterious world out there. In Florida, we have Interstate 4. Florida is another place where there's a tremendous battle between good and evil. I mean, on one place, you've got the Clearwater image, but then you got Terry Schiavo, and you know, you have a lot of strong Christians and Catholics in Florida, just like here in New Orleans, and then you got Miami with the drugs, and you know, it's a real battleground like New Orleans, very much like it. We have Disney World, which you know, you can argue has good elements, and I'm always getting dragged there with my kids. I don't like some of it, I'll tell you. Like that, some of the stuff gets a little occultic for my taste. I don't care for magic. When anything's too magical to me, the only magic I need is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only spiritual force I'm comfortable with, as far as having myself. But at any rate, we've got Disney World, and in Orlando, if nothing else, Orlando is one of the entertainment capitals of the world. And there's a lot of strange things that occur there. I said that recently, just this week, there's the image of Jesus appearing in a hospital. But we have this I-4. You ever been on Interstate 4 in Central Florida? It's the big corridor between Tampa, Orlando, and Daytona Beach. And even the police department was quoted in a paper recently. The newspaper had a story on how it seems haunted. People see a strange smoke come out of the road, and there's one stretch where there are ridiculous numbers of accidents. I mean, I don't mean hundreds. Through the years, through the decades, there have been thousands in this one stretch. And it's, by the way, where they think there had been a cemetery that they just paved over. But I think it goes beyond stuff like that. I did talk about how problems can be caused by earthbound spirits, but there was Indian ritualism in that area, and right nearby is a place called Casadega, which is a camp for spiritualists, seances, mediums, psychics. They have, every Halloween, they have their, what they call the Seat of Satan, and it's a bench. And every Halloween, you're invited to sit on it and make your request to the devil. This ain't going to bring good weather, folks. And, you know, it's when those hurricanes came through 4 years ago, nearly 4 years ago, three of those hurricanes, the eyes of three of those hurricanes passed directly over this area of I-4. When you go on I-4, you will suddenly see all the trees bent like this for about a mile and a half, and it's right there at the stretch where the accidents occur. They are inheriting the wind. And this is also where, right after those hurricanes, I don't make this stuff up. Right after those hurricanes, do you remember when somebody, I think they still do it, there's a group that was putting billboards up all over the country with messages from God, like there'd be a little sentence, and then it would say, God, as if God's sending it. And they were pretty clever, all right? Well, after the hurricanes, which blew down a lot of billboards, don't have to tell you about that, but in some cases, you know how it just kind of peeled back the billboards? You know how they're pasting on top of each other? And right at this area near Orlando, it peeled back a billboard to a previous message that had been from this religious group, and it said, we need to talk, God. Talk about a sign. It's serious stuff because spirits can cause illness. Now, I'm not saying every illness is caused by a demon. I mean, there's natural forces largely at work. There's things we do wrong with our bodies. There's genetics. There's all kinds of reasons. There's redemptive suffering. God sends illness sometimes. But there are illnesses caused by evil spirits. Jesus said that. And so it's good for us to cast anything out of us through prayer that may cause some type of a problem in the future, because a lot of times when we just can't seem to get anywhere, we need to cast something out. Not just with illnesses, but when we're blocked in life, when there's just something we can't seem to get by, we're being blocked. I'm getting cold up here now. This is a time of extremes. Did I tell you that? Meet Mr. Chastisement. Poor John. You know. By the way, Dr. John Soss flew all the way from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to help here today, and he teaches in a medical school, and he is a very, very dear friend of our family, and he puts up with a lot. But sometimes when we're blocked in life, it's because there's a spirit there, whether it's generational or a curse. Now, if you think that's an old concept and old-fashioned, you can use that term if you want. But it's in the Bible, certainly, and it doesn't have to be some voodooist down in the French Quarter. It can be just somebody being jealous of you. When we're jealous of somebody, what are we doing? Aren't we wishing them less than well? Aren't we wishing they didn't have some type of success, or that something bad would happen, or that it's a curse. It's hatred. Proverbs says, you know, wrath and hatred are one thing, but who can stand before jealousy? And so sometimes in your life, if you're finding yourself blocked, step back, kneel back, sit back, lay back, whatever, and pray. And cast out any spirit that may be blocking you that you're simply not aware of. And a lot of times, you'll start to see something that was right in front of you all this time, but you just weren't able to see before you did pray about that. And especially if you fast while you pray. You know, one time I'll tell you, I was giving a talk when the book The Final Hour came out at a church in Chicago. I A lot of luck in Chicago, John. We got that salt spread there, but it was at, I think it was St. Bede Church, big church. There were 800 people there. And I gave a talk that night. Oh, it was, I don't know, what was, I had a lot of energy that night, and I was at the microphone saying, never fear the devil, don't ever fear the devil. When you fear the devil, you're having faith in the devil. And therefore, you're giving him power, right? When you fear him, you're giving him power. This is how I was saying it, loudly, thunderously. And that was fine. Then we did a question and answer period. I signed a whole bunch of books. And the nun who had me there, Sister Sharla, said, okay, I'll take you to where you're staying tonight. And I said, usually it's a hotel. I said, where's that? He said, oh, it's right across from the convent here. Right across from the church. It used to be a convent. I said, it used to be? And she said, yeah, it's no one lives there anymore. So you'll have the whole place to yourself. So anyway, so we go in there and we chat. It was been raining a little bit, drizzling, and we go and we're talking in the kitchen area, and I said, "Is this, you know, everything's okay here, huh?" And she said, "Oh no," she said, "well, the nuns. Oh, there was so much division. I think they were into like that occult stuff and some occult stuff and everything, and New Age." Or she said, "There was so much division, it just all fell apart." I said, "Oh." She says, "Oh yeah." She said, "Matter of fact, the workmen, the janitors, don't even like to go up on the second floor." I said, "Where's my room?" She said, "The second floor." She's, you know, "Fear not the devil. You never fear the devil." She knew I didn't have any fear of this. She knew that. She didn't know the truth, but she knew. She knew that. So now I'm thinking, oh man, gee, what am I? I can't say anything. She won her airfare back. So she leaves. And there I am. There was a partition part way in the front, actually, where they even had the Blessed Sacrament, but that was way on the other end of the building. And I was way on this side, and nothing in between but empty rooms. And I'll tell you something. I went up there, and it was not my imagination. I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and I started hearing noises. They were downstairs, though. And I thought, oh, there's mice here, there's rats, everything. I'm not going to get too wound up about this place. Although, you know, it was, like I said, it was raining. All of the elements. It was like Stephen King wrote this whole thing. I went to the bedroom, and I had written it off as being rodents until the footsteps start coming up the hallway. I didn't like that at all, and I stood up, listening very clearly. There was no question. And by the way, I had no phone in my room. I had no car. I start looking at the window. I was wondering if there was a Motel 6 somewhere in there. I didn't care if it was a Red Roof Inn at that point. But you know what's funny? It wasn't funny at the time, I've got to tell you. You know, it was not funny. I was very scared after giving this talk about fear not. Then I said, wait a minute, what about practicing what I preach? And I said, enough of this nonsense. I got down and said a rosary, and everything just calmed down. And it was silent. And that was it. I slept. I didn't wake up once that night. She came, she picked me up in the morning and took me to the airport, and that was the end of it. But, you know, that rosary, somebody said, looks like the slingshot that David slew Goliath with. I mean, that rosary is so strong against evil. And certainly as a weapon. Now, I don't have to preach that to you guys. I know that most of you use that anyway. But just to reaffirm the need for this at the time and to pray without ceasing, as it says in the Bible. And also, I think sometimes, as I mentioned before, that we simply have to cast things out. And I do have a prayer here. It's not a short prayer, but it's a prayer that I feel is important to recite. And so I'm just going to do this in a minute. It must be over in my other pile here. Just bear with me. I think you'll be glad you did. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kyrie eleison, God our Lord, King of ages, all-powerful and almighty, you who made everything and who transforms everything simply by your will, you who in Babylon changed into dew the flames of the seven times hotter furnace and protected and saved the three holy children, you are the doctor and the physician of our souls. You are the salvation of those who turn to you. We beseech you to make powerless, banish, and drive out every diabolic power, presence, and machination, every evil influence, malefice, or evil eye, and all evil action aim against your servants. And here in particular, you may think of somebody in your family or yourself who is in particular need. When there is envy and malice, give us an abundance of goodness, endurance, victory, and charity. O Lord, you who love man, we beg you to reach out your powerful hands and your most high and mighty arms and come to our aid. Help us who are made in your image, send the angel of peace over us to protect us body and soul. May he keep at bay and vanquish every evil power, every poison or malice invoked against us by corrupt and envious people. Then, under the protection of your authority, may we sing in gratitude, "The Lord is my salvation, whom should I fear? I will not fear evil, because you are with us, O Lord, our strength, our powerful Lord, Lord of peace, Father of all ages. Yes, Lord our God, be merciful to us, your image, and save your servant." And here you can mention people again. "From every threat or harm from the evil one, and protect them and us by raising them and us above all evil. We ask you this through the intercession of our most blessed, glorious Lady Mary, ever Virgin, Mother of God, of the most splendid archangels and all your saints. Amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify us. Body of Christ, save us. Blood of Christ, inebriate us. Water from the side of Christ, wash us. Passion of Christ, strengthen us. O good Jesus, hear us. Within your wounds, hide us. Let us never be separated from you. From the evil one, protect us. At the hour of our deaths, call us and bid us come to you, that with your saints we may praise you forever and ever. Amen. Spirit of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, most holy Trinity, Immaculate Virgin Mary, angels, archangels, saints of heaven, descend upon us. Please purify us, Lord, mold us, fill us with yourself, use us. Banish all forces of evil from us, destroy them, vanquish them, so that we can be healthy and do good deeds. Banish from us all spells, witchcraft, black magic, malefice, ties, maledictions, and the evil eye, diabolic infestations, oppressions, possessions, all that is evil and sinful, jealousy, perfidy, envy, physical, psychological, moral, spiritual, diabolical ailments. Burn all these evils in hell, that they may never again touch us or any other creature in the entire world. We command and bid all powers who molest us, by the power of God all-powerful, in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, through the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, to leave us forever, and to be consigned into the everlasting hell, where they will be bound by St. Michael the Archangel, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, our guardian angels, and where they will be crushed under the heel of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. Lord Jesus, you came to heal our wounded and troubled hearts. We beg you to heal the torments that cause anxiety in our hearts. We beg you in a particular way to heal all who are the cause of sin. We beg you to come into our lives and heal us of the psychological harms that struck us in our early years and from the injuries that they caused throughout our lives. Lord Jesus, you know our burdens. We lay them all on your Good Shepherd's heart. We beseech you by the merits of the great open wound in your heart to heal the small wounds that are in ours. Heal the pain of our memories so that nothing that has happened to us will cause us to remain in pain and anguish filled with anxiety. Heal, O Lord, all those wounds that have been the cause of all the evil that is rooted in our lives. We want to forgive all those who have offended us. Look to those inner sores that make us unable to forgive. You who came to forgive the afflicted of heart, please heal our own hearts. Heal, O Lord Jesus, my Lord, these intimate wounds that cause us physical illness. We offer you our hearts, accept them, Lord, purify them, and give us the sentiments of your divine heart. Help us to be meek and humble. Heal us, O Lord, from the pain caused by the deaths of our loved ones, which is oppressing us. Grant us to regain peace and joy in the knowledge that you are the resurrection and the life. Make us an authentic witness to your resurrection, your victory over sin and death, your living presence among us. Amen. My Lord, you are all-powerful, you are God, you are Father. We beg you through the intercession and help of the archangels Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel for the deliverance of our brothers and sisters who are enslaved by the evil one. All saints of heaven, come to our aid. From anxiety and sadness and obsession, we beg you and repeat, please, free us, O Lord.
Free us, O Lord.
From hatred, fornication, envy, we beg you, free us, O Lord. From thoughts of jealousy, rage, and death, we beg you, free us, O Lord. From every thought of suicide and abortion, we beg you, free us, O Lord. From every form of sinful sexuality, we beg you, free us, O Lord. From every division in our families and every harmful friendship, we beg you, free us, O Lord. From every sort of spell, malefice, witchcraft, and every form of the occult, we beg you, free us, O Lord. Lord, you who said, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Grant that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, we may be liberated from every evil spell and enjoy your peace always in the name of Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we seek protection. And so we seek purity. And, you know, this all dovetails with what we said in the morning, because we are protected from the enemy, not only when we love, and that's the most important thing, but also when we know who we are and we know our station in life. When we look over our lives, we often find that when there is tremendous anxiety caused and tension, it's because we're trying to reach what the world wants us to reach for instead of what God wants us to reach for. We try to be somebody we're not meant to be. We try to be a station of life we're not meant to have. And therefore, there's unrest in our soul. There's no peace. And we find problems and stumbling blocks that otherwise would not be there. When we're doing what God wants, as it says, He is pleased with us, and He does send peace. And also the charism of joy. Joy is the fruit of spiritual purity. One of our great enemies is lust. Lust causes many things, even including anger. It causes many results. It is a hidden cause of things, of many different dark things that bind us. Cast away the spirit of lust. That's why it was always spoken about as such. Prayers work, novenas work. I really advise people to say the scriptural rosary, because you're reading the Bible, which is very powerful against the enemy, as well as saying the rosary. I remember when I was going through my conversion, it was the Bible. It was the Reader's Digest Bible, but it was the Bible, and it was powerful, especially passages from Ephesians and Psalms, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. These things can purify our families. Again, I probably don't have to tell you that. I'm probably, as they say, preaching to the choir. And you know, I lost an opportunity for a joke with when it was too cool in here. I should have said, because I heard this from a priest one time. There was a conference in Cincinnati, and it was really getting cold. And he got fed up with all the complaints, and he said, and he finally said, many are cold, but few are frozen. So, but I won't miss this one about how effective prayer is. It is effective, as testified to from this story. A priest stood at the church door greeting the parishioners after Mass. "Good morning, Mrs. O'Reilly. I married you 10 years ago, but still you have no children?" "Indeed you did, Father," she said. We've not been blessed. "My husband and I have tried, but we've not been successful," said Mrs. O'Reilly. Father replied, "I'm going to Rome for a few years sabbatical. I'll light a candle for you at the Basilica at the Vatican. Perhaps the Holy Mother will look kindly on you and your husband." Several years later, back at the church door, greeting parishioners, the priest meets Mrs. O'Reilly again. "Mrs. O'Reilly, did you ever have any children?" "Indeed I did, Father," she said, pointing to the family behind her. "We've had a set of twins and 2 singles since we last saw you." Father replied, "Praise be the Holy Mother, she's blessed you. But I don't see Mr. O'Reilly. Is he here today?" "No, Father," she said, "he's gone to Rome to blow out your darn candle." Are you going to forgive me for these? Where's the confession? Prayer does work. Novenas work. It's important to clear hidden darkness. It's important to have shields at this time. I hear, on Spirit Daily, because we get so many thousands of emails, that I see documented stories that we don't, that I can't even synopsize for you. I can't even summarize them. There's just so little doubt about how powerful the supernatural can operate in our lives, in our families too. Such beautiful different stories of signs, good signs of the times also. How angels are so especially prevalent in our time. I'll never forget talking to this fellow named Dave, who was at the Nickajack Reservoir in Tennessee, I think it is. He was, do you call it spelunking, where you scuba dive in caves? Something that I don't want any part of. And he was doing that with 2 friends or 3 friends, and he got lost, separated from them. And he ended up isolated, and I forget how many, he was in for more than a day, lost in a cave. And he had a hang on, he ran out of oxygen, he had a hang on to a, what do you call them, whatever that is, and keep his head in, there was a single air pocket. For hours and hours and hours, this poor guy, the water's cold, he's holding on, trying to breathe. He says he finally realized it might be time to say a prayer. This is after like 20 hours. He says he prayed, and he said all of a sudden, he used to be, talk about lust and lifestyle, he used to be known as Dirty Dave. And he said that once he started to pray, he felt this incredible hand, just as if it reached inside of him and yanked out all this black stuff. And then he said it a second time, felt all this more gunk come out of him. And a third time, 3s again, as if a hand came in and took out all of this evil, all the nefarious darkness that he had allowed to take territorial control of his spirit. He said that he felt so clean and so good that even though he thought he was about to die and he's hanging on to this rock in an air bubble, he starts screaming praise to God. He said he'd never been happier facing death. Well, he ended up obviously surviving. Shortly after, he saw these strange lights, and then after that came these scuba diver rescuers, and they rescued him. But it's this cleansing that is the point of the story. Then the way that prayer brings us to that cleansing, brings us to get rid of roadblocks. I mean, spirits can cause everything, including insomnia. You know, if you can't sleep, or if your cell phone won't go off, I cast away the spirit of cell phones from this. The only problem is it was probably mine that went off. I was in church a few months ago, and somebody's cell phone went off, and it was and the ringtone was a theme from The Godfather. At any rate, you know, we can feel evil a lot of times because you get kind of the willies and the goose flesh on the nape of the neck. And, you know, this is the spirit trying to tell us there are generational issues. There's the jealousy I mentioned. There can be occult. There can be hidden sins of abortion. There can be the influence of music, which we've also gone over. You'll find bad luck follows folks who are in occult movies. I don't want to get into the darkness around Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist, but a lot of bad things happened, including the fact that the director of Rosemary's Baby, remember Roman Polanski? His wife ended up being brutally murdered by a satanic cult led by Charles Manson. And one of the members of Charles, and there was a, and in Rosemary's Baby was a cult that was like Charles Manson's, that movie. I didn't see it, but I'm reading descriptions of it. And also, what was spooky is that one of the Manson murderers had been a follower of Anton LaVey, the Satanist, in San Francisco, who was in a movie. He was a consultant to the movie. How things come around. We have to be careful. And you know something else was weird? The Manson family, of course, claimed that they got inspiration from the Beatles song Helter Skelter. And, of course, Lennon and McCartney. And later on, there was, you know, Rosemary's Baby was filmed at the Dakota, the apartment building in New York on the Upper West Side, where John Lennon ended up moving in. And then John Lennon gets murdered himself by this Chapman fellow, Mark David Chapman, was it, from Hawaii, who flies to kill him because little voices are telling them to kill him. Just before he killed John Lennon, outside the Dakota where they filmed Rosemary Baby, the last person Chapman saw, or one of the last people he saw that he recognized, was another celebrity, Mia Farrow, who was walking her dog. She was the star of Rosemary's Baby. There's coincidences like this. Got to be careful what we watch. You know something? Spirits get attached to occult movies, to books. If you've got occult books in your home, they can carry a spirit. They can be an entrance way. Just like a earthbound soul can attach to an object, so can an evil spirit. They have that right. Just like we have holiness with a statue, so do we have unholiness with something that is an object that is unholy. It's not, they're trying to make Halloween the devil's Christmas these days, and those things can carry a certain force and a certain power. When they wear these weird faces down on Bourbon Street during, like on that wall there, those weird faces they have during Mardi Gras, they don't bring the right type of spirit. It's not all just a joke. I like to have fun too, but not if it invokes darkness. If you have sexual material in your home, get it out of your house. When we watch movies that aren't right, a spirit can enter. If we're watching something that's a cult that's on TV, sometimes you can shut off the TV and nothing happens, and sometimes you shut off the TV and something lingers and can grow. Don't give seed to the enemy. A lot of hidden things in life. The spotlight is the Holy Spirit. He will show you. He will guide you. And just in conclusion here, we're going to have a question and answer period until Mass. We've had to talk about some serious things. We've had to talk about hell. I have to tell one more last joke about hell. You know, that little girl, it had to be a public school system. She was A little girl was in school one day. Her science teacher was going on and on about how the Bible was mythology, and she was talking about the account of Jonah and how it can't be true because you can't be swallowed by a whale and survive. And anyway, it just can't happen. And a little girl starts arguing with her. It's in the Bible. And the science teacher says, not only can't you survive in a whale for days, but the whales in the Mediterranean weren't even big enough to swallow a human. Back and forth on this, and little girl finally says, well, when I die, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher gets mad and says, what if Jonah's in hell? And the little girl says, and you ask him. I wouldn't come to New Orleans without some jokes. People in New Orleans have the best sense of humor. Just in conclusion here, I said, living every moment of its our last, viewing everything in life as if it's from the other side, prepares us best. Finding our stations in life, our mission. Not being obsessed with it or meditating on it, but finding it. We don't want to go to any extremes because you get that hiss of the snake, the enemy. Oppression, obsession, depression, possession. See the way it hisses and progresses. So we find balance instead of the hiss of the snake. We go forward with that faith, and we find also a place of blessing. God has places for you, things for you to do, and that's where you find your protection. Of course, especially in churches and holy places, like where Bless Silos is here, where Father is. Moments of grace that we should take advantage of. Don't force things in life. Let the Holy Spirit do things according to His time and according to its time. Get rid of the dark clouds around us. Don't accept the evil report. If you're told you're going to die of cancer, don't accept it. Whether or not it's true, there's a good chance it isn't, if you have faith. Too often we accept the evil report of the world. Not just with major illness, but with anything. Anything that is brought to us that's negative, we don't have to accept. Don't accept the evil reports of your lives. Just go with God and let Him lead things according to His time. Remember that what kills is judgment and what heals is love. Remember what I said I was going to repeat to you. God is love. Love is light. Light is life. God is the light of the life that loves. I guess you could say light-giving love and also life-giving love. These are all lessons I think that we learn from our great tradition of Catholicism, as well as these experiences people have. Truth is in the light. That's the only place that real truth is, final, complete truth. There are angels everywhere, and we really need to take advantage of them, how infrequently do. Your strength is in the truth of who you are, like I said before. And yes, we need to take advantage of these sacramentals. If you feel evil, use holy water at the first sign of it, because you know how fast a weed grows? And so you get a little seed of evil, and boom. Just use that holy water right away. Don't delay in using it. Or blessed salt. Unblock and cleanse and seal yourself. Family prayer is very powerful. Too often we forget about it. And like I said, what we have to look forward to is incredibly bright. As we conclude here, just a couple more quotes from folks who claim that they saw it, the light. Like this one physician who studied cases said, typically at its first appearance, the light is dim, but it rapidly gets brighter until it reaches unearthly brilliance. Yet even though this light is of indescribable brilliance, many make the specific point that it does not in any way hurt their eyes or dazzle them or keep them from seeing other things around them. The love and warmth which emanate from this being to the dying person, they're talking about Jesus, are truly and utterly beyond words. It's a, another person said, a pure crystal light, an illuminating light, beautiful and so bright, so radiant, that it doesn't hurt the, but it doesn't hurt the eyes. It's not the kind of light you can describe from earth. Others portray it as all-knowing, all-forgiving, all-loving. Said this one person, as I reached the source of the light, I could see in, I cannot begin to describe in human terms the feeling I had in what I saw. It was a giant infinite world of calm and love and beauty. This, that Dr. Ritchie said, that all the light bulbs in the ward couldn't give off that much light. All the light bulbs in the world could not. And you know, listen to how he described Jesus, because I find it to be kind of interesting. He says he's looking at this light and he's realizing it's too bright to look at, but I can look at it. Not it, him. Because then he sees Jesus and he says it was not the Christ of his Sunday school books. That Jesus with gentle, kind, understanding, and this is a quote from him, and probably a little bit of a weakling from his Sunday school, anyway. Another way of saying that would have been feminized, that artists through the centuries had perhaps feminized Jesus a little bit too much, especially since the Renaissance. He was not that way. He had the austere strength of the shroud. This person was power itself, older than time, and yet more modern than anyone I've ever met, said the psychiatrist. Above all, with that same mysterious inner certainty, I knew that this man, capital M, loved me. Far more than power, what emanated from this presence, capital P, was unconditional love. An astonishing love. A love beyond my wildest imagining. Like I said before, brighter than thousands of suns and so forth. They go on and on with these descriptions. Yes, we discern. Yes, we are careful. But yes, we have to remember that to enter that light, we have to be light. And if we are that way, and if we purify here, which we're given tremendous opportunity to do instead of in purgatory, he'll be there for us as light. And we'll be in his light, and we'll be part of his light, and that light will shine into and become the whole of our own hearts. Anyway, I think I've gone on long enough. I think I got most major things in, and I want to have some time for Q&A, if we can do it like we did this morning. Thank you very much. We can start with that. Thank you.